was their major product was lead, and they did get quite a bit of zinc. They got some silver and some gold, but it was a byproduct. It was not the major thing that they were after.
How many mines were they in this area? Are there in this area?
Oh, there must have been 15,000 working over a 20 or 30 year span. There are claims on top of claims. There's as many as 8 or 10 claims on the same property at various times, you know. And someone would lay their mine out this way, and somebody would come along and lay a claim out this way, and then somebody would put a claim on top of it. When you go to the courthouse and look at the maps, it is just so confusing. If you don't know what you're doing, you're just lost.
How can they do that, put claims on top of it?
Well, you come in and file your claim, and you don't find anything, you move on, let your claim lapse, but it's still on the records. Then I come in and I put it on top of yours, maybe just on one corner of yours. If I find anything on that corner, then you can claim it. If you have kept up your assessment work or your taxes, if it's a patented claim, and you paid your taxes, if then someone else comes along and files on top of your claim and finds ore, you can claim whatever they get.
All of it or just a percentage of it?
I think all of it. Maybe. You may be able to, if you went to court, they might give you what it cost you to get it out of the ground or something, you know, for your development work. But it's the Colorado mining laws are a whole education in themselves. You'd have to spend years to learn all of the ins and outs. And, we went and filed on some old claims that had been abandoned up around above Georgetown up by the water plant, and we went up and found the survey stakes that were there before. And an interesting thing is that they didn't put down wooden stakes or metal stakes. They found a rock, and a big rock that one man couldn't pick up and walk away with, and they would chisel their claim number on that rock. And Chuck and I would go up there and mess around and look, and we found several cornerstones, they call them. And then we went to the courthouse and we did all of the paperwork and we filed them, you know, under new names, of course, because we didn't know what names they had been filed before. And about 3 weeks later, I got a phone call from Denver. There's a big mining outfit in Denver that had staked that whole mountain. And they claim that they do the assessment work every year. And there hasn't been a rock turned up there for years, but every year they file. And it costs them a little over $100,000 a year to file.
Where's that public?
It costs them a little over $100,000 a year if they did assessment work on every claim that they claim they have filed on. So it's interesting.
Yeah. What are some of the most well-known mines? Do they have names?
The Waldorf is a big mine, was a big mine, I should say, and it had a town, even had a post office. And it has been classified in all of the books as a ghost town, but people have taken souvenirs until there's nothing left. The only thing that's there is a little piece of track about as long as this room and a mine car on it that someone shot full of holes, several someone's. And the rock foundation that was the mill, and a pile of rubble that used to be the boarding house.
And that's it.
Now
how far is that from here?
It's about 9 miles. You go up the paved road 2 miles and then go off to the right on a dirt road for about 7 miles.
I see. The Waldorf, were there other well-known mines?
The San Diego is up above the Waldorf. It never had a town around it, but it was a good mine, a pretty famous mine. The Capital Prize is over. You may have noticed the buildings over there. That was a gold mine. See, that area over there where the Capital Prize is where gold was first discovered by George Griffith. And he's the one that founded the town. And so that corner of the town is where it all began.
Actually in town.
In town, uh-huh. And above Silver Plume, there's several of the 730 mine. And the Pelican and the Dives is a conglomerate. And it was quite famous. Hamill ran a mine above Silver Plume called the Hamill Tunnel. That's where he made his money. A couple of the local boys had worked there for about 3 years and didn't do any good. They sold it to him, and he put in one round and hit $1 million pocket of silver.
$1 million.
Wow. Yeah.
It's just luck sometimes,
yeah.
Isn't it?
He took out over $100,000 a month for several years.
That's how you get rich.
That's how you get rich. But he lost it.
He
died a pauper.
How?
Well, he over-invested for one thing. He's just like